Yeah.
Today is Thursday, December 22nd, 2022. This is part 3 of a Grand Canyon Oral History with Andy McLeroy. And Andy spells his last name McLeroy. And my name is Tom Martin. Good afternoon, Andy. How are you today?
I'm doing lovely.
Super. Glad to hear it. Andy, may we have your permission to record this oral history over the telephone?
Yes.
Thank you. We left off in part 2 with the completion of the first half of the second Navajo Bridge. This is in 1994. And I was curious to know, while you were running the crane building the first half there, where did you live?
When I first moved there, at the very first, I stayed in a, just by myself, I stayed in a bed and breakfast place. And I can't remember their names, but they operated a boat marina down there at Lake Powell.
Okay.
And I guess I stayed there for a month. And then I found a little mobile home, single-wide mobile home for rent. And I moved into it. It already had furniture. So, I just moved into it.
So the bed and breakfast, was that there at Marble Canyon in that area, or was it farther away?
It was in Page.
In Page.
Page, Arizona.
So to get to the job site every day, you'd have to drive south out of Page on Highway 89 and then go through what they call the cut and down through real scenic hillside there where you could see out across Marble Canyon and then drive on over to the job.
27 or something, I don't remember. And then I drove that for about a week, and then I started catching a ride with, I think it was with David, we had an older gentleman. He was an iron worker too, but can't remember his name.
Okay.
But I started riding with him, and he was there the whole job site at the beginning and the end.
Okay.
Ed something. It wasn't Ed Kent, but it was Ed. What was his name?
Yeah.
But I started riding with them.
There was another Ed. He was older. I kind of want to say Reese, but I don't think that's it. I should know his name.
No. No, it's not Reese. But I can't remember. Good old guy.
What do you remember about him?
He was just really comical. He was always cutting up. Always in a good mood. I don't think I ever saw him in a bad mood.
Nice.
I can't remember his last name.
Do you remember where he was from?
No, I don't. I didn't really. When I sit up in the crane, I don't really get to talk to nobody except right at the beginning of the job or right at the very end.
Okay.
Yeah, during the day, I don't really get to talk to them except my iron worker's there.
Okay.
Ed.
Can you describe him? Was he short and stocky? Was he tall and thin?
He was short. Say 5'4", 5'6". And he didn't have a beard or nothing. I'm thinking he had a clean shaved face. But I'm surprised any of the other guys didn't say nothing about him. Ed, shoot, what was his name? I almost say it, but I just can't say it.
And was he bolt up or was he erection? Where was
he? I think he kind of was over the bolt up.
Okay, so he'd be working with David Mesh. That's M-E-C-H-E.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Good old guy.
Nice.
I think I might rode with David some, David Mesh. Sometimes to the job, I mean, it's no sense that all of us driving for an hour to get to work.
Right.
So we started doing some ride sharing.
Carpooling makes sense there.
Yeah.
You're working on the same job, you're starting in the same town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they all lived up there somewhere. I guess I never did go over to nobody's house. Well, I think I went over David Mesh once. We had a cookout after we went fishing, trout fishing down there in the canyon.
Oh, did you go down to Lee's Ferry and go fishing down there?
No, we climbed.
Did you
David
go?
David had an idea to climb down the canyon to go down there to go fishing. And I said, yeah, I'll go. That was a wrong mistake.
Now, hang on a second.
My legs hurt.
was this, so where you guys were working on the bridge, just upstream from there on the Navajo side or on the Flagstaff side, there's a route. It's not a trail. It's more of a route or a scramble down to the river.
Goat trail.
Yeah, like a goat trail.
Yeah.
Is that where you went?
I think that's where we went, yeah.
And then Dick Clark, common spelling, had a boat down there to patrol for any river runners who were coming along to get them to stop if they needed to. I don't know if you remember him down there or his boat down there.
I don't remember his name, but I do remember there was an officer down there that would sit around corner, which was close to Lee's Ferry. And he would radio me. I don't even know how. I think David or somebody gave me the radio.
Okay.
I really never met the guy. And he would holler at me when we had raptors coming down.
And then what would you do?
I would just hang my pieces of iron, whatever we was doing, and I'd kind of look down and watch them, and then I'd holler at David down there, because he's usually down there with them at that time, and tell him or tell somebody down there. If he wasn't there, I'd tell somebody that we have raptors coming, so they would tell us to stop work whenever they got close to us.
Okay. So you guys would simply just stop your bolting, stop your placing of steel, and just wait.
Stop everything.
Okay.
Wait till they got under us.
Okay.
Then we could go back to work. It didn't work out at first. At first, we just kept working. But then something happened and told us that we had to quit working when they went up under us, because it was like 10 people in a raft coming down up under us, so they told us that we had to quit. I think it was the state told us we had to quit working. Somebody.
Okay.
I don't remember who it was.
But and that makes sense. I mean, just a simple washer or any kind of tiny little something that would get down through the...
We had those two nets up under us to catch all that, which I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we could have kept working, but on the safety side, best not.
Yeah.
Don't want to hurt nobody.
Let's go back to your stay there at Page.
Yeah.
Besides fishing that time to get the trout, did you get up on the lake at all up there, up on Lake Powell?
Yeah, the people I was renting the bed and breakfast place, I went and saw them after we done, when I went back, by the time we transferred over to the other side, tore my crane down and moved it to the other side, that was the time I left to go back to Texas and pick up my wife and son and brought them back. And I don't know, one weekend we wasn't working, I went over and rented a boat from them people. We got on Lake Powell and rowed around on the lake. It's a beautiful lake.
Nice.
Beautiful, clean. You can see the rocks below 10 feet down.
Wow.
In the water. It was beautiful lake. Done a little fishing.
Was this the summer? How old was your son?
Yeah. He was probably, probably 12.
Okay.
9, 10, 11, somewhere in there. No, he wasn't 9. He had to be at least 10 to 12.
Okay. So he would have been out of school, so that would have made sense. It was summertime.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was summer when we was down there, when I was down there.
And do you remember much about hauling everything from the Navajo or the Flagstaff side over to the lodge or the Fredonia side?
I don't really remember much about that at all. I remember starting to tear the crane down.
Okay.
From Navajo side. But I don't really remember much about transferring everything over and putting it back together. I don't remember much at all about that.
Okay.
It's a blank.
Well, you'd mentioned before we started the interview that maybe that was the time you went to get your son and wife.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. It had to have been.
Well, that would make sense. Make perfect sense, because you couldn't do your job. Your crane was all broken down in pieces.
Yeah.
So it would be a good time to go get your family.
Yeah, that would have been about the only time. I wasn't there, but I think my total time there was around 6 months.
Okay.
I was there.
Okay.
It took like 3 months, first half, and then go back to the second half. It's like 2.5 months, almost 3 months.
Okay.
On the second side. But we was only there about 6 months.
So let's talk about the second side then. Now your crane again is sitting on a platform, a pretty big platform on rollers. And
yeah,
it seems like
the pedestal platform, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Okay. And then what would have been the first thing you'd have done on the lodge side to start that build out that way?
I'm thinking that we brought the crane that was on the ground that would load stuff up for me on the little traveler thing.
Okay.
Platform. I think he kind of built it up what he could to set the crane up there. And then when I got on it, we started, that side was a little different from the first side. They built this big ladder that went all the way to the ground. It come all the way to the top. And it had platform, probably about halfway up. Had a little platform. I guess I could check out stuff underneath. I'm not sure. But that was the first thing. We started building that ladder. And then
So this is a ladder to get you up to your house, up to the crane? Or was this a ladder from the skew back up to kind of the road level?
Well, this ladder went all the way from the bottom up, but it was built onto the frame of the bridge from the bottom cord up to the top cord.
Okay.
I'm thinking that we might have some beams or something that went over to the land up to the top elevation over there, and I think I walked out on it. I don't really remember climbing that ladder. I may have once or twice till we built that top cord out to the land.
Oh, so basically there's a steep slope there. And,
yeah.
And so the level where your crane is going to be on its platform is kind of way up in the air there. And so you would have to go up the ladder to get up there, up to where your crane was.
Till we built a top cord, then I could walk across it. But
got it.
I'd have to go back and look at some pictures.
Okay.
To see what we did there. Not sure. But I know I only climbed that ladder once or twice because I'm not too happy about climbing ladders.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't much, but I know it did. It come off land somehow, and we went straight across. And that's the way I used to get back on the crane from that side.
And then, just like the other side, did you lower down the foundation plates, the skew back parts, and the bottom cord?
Well, no. By the time I got back, I think all that was done.
Okay.
And the crane was sitting up there. I mean, 'cause you had to have that done before you could put the crane up there.
Okay.
Well, not necessarily. Maybe not. I don't remember setting them base plates down there. I think that other crane on land did that.
Okay.
I don't remember doing that. I do remember the first side, but I don't remember the second side doing that. I think it was already done.
Okay. And then, so I'm imagining it was just kind of a repeat of, bottom cords, bottom members, and then building up to the road deck and then moving forward again. Is that kind of how that all would have worked?
Yeah, it worked just the same way.
As soon as you started moving out, did you get a sense, it looks like we're going to line up, or were you thinking, well, maybe we're not going to line up here?
I was hoping we'd line up. I left that all to the engineers and stuff. You know, I just did what I was supposed to do. And see what happens when we got there.
Makes sense.
And then deal with that problem then. But yeah, we lined up really good. I was really surprised. I was kind of jumping ahead, but once we got out to the end, we still had to put those two big pins in the bottom cord, and the top cord, they were box beams, and one side fit into the other side inside it so they could flex up and down.
Oh.
You know, and still stay together.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom cord took those pins so it could move. So as we stuck the pins in, it was a real tight. We done it like early as we could do it because it was supposed to be kind of are cool.
Yep.
So the stuff, the iron kind of shrinks a little bit when it's cold. And so we stuck the pin, stuck one pin in one side, and then it got it started, and then they dropped, cut me loose, and I dropped my ball down a little bit down where it would hit about in the center of it, and they tied a rope to it and pushed my ball out, and my ball probably weighed about 1,000 pounds. Pushed it out, and then they'd take the rope and pull it back real hard to start beating that pin in.
Oh, wow.
And that took a couple of hours to get one side pin. Excuse me. Get one pin in, and then we'd done the same thing on the other side. Got it in there and started, and then they cut me loose, tied a rope to it, pushed my ball out, pull it in, and bang them pins in. I remember them doing that. I couldn't really see them, but I could see the line on my cable. I could see my cable. It would kind of swing out a little bit, and then it'd come back, and then it would shake. And I would know that's what they're doing. They're beating that pin in with my ball, headache ball.
Okay, I'm gonna review this to make sure I understand it in layman's terms. When I think of a crane with a big tower, what keeps that cable taut is a metal or lead or what's it, iron? What's it made of?
It's made out of steel, I guess.
Okay, so
cast iron steel.
And is it like the size of a basketball, or how big is this thing?
Yeah. That size there is probably big, a little bit bigger than a basketball.
Okay, like a beach ball.
They're probably around, beach ball. They're around 800 pounds.
Okay.
Maybe for that size, 600 to 800 pounds.
And so the pin is like a cylinder.
It's a pin. It's,
yep.
Yeah, it was, and I'm thinking it was like 2,500 pounds, something like that.
Okay. And so you would have had a handle on that, and you would have dropped it down, and then they would have tried to get it in and get it started in the circular kind of area it was supposed to go in. And that circular area, half of it is one half of the bridge, and the other half is the other half of the bridge.
Yeah, bottom cord.
Bottom cord, yeah. And they're trying to get this thing in there. And to beat it in place, they use the ball hanging off a cable from your crane.
Yeah.
Man, they had to work really hard to make sure that thing hits where they want it to hit.
Well, yeah, they would drop me down, swing me a little bit, drop me down, get me lined up right there. And then they would push on it, push it out, pull it back in to hit it.
And maybe they're only going, like, what, maybe 20 feet in the swing of the thing?
Yeah, probably something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be hard to push out from the bridge. Yeah, I'd say at least 20 feet.
Right, because all they could do was pull it hard to you, or pull it hard to them, and then let it just go on out by gravity, and then pull it back in again.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow, what a great hammer.
Yeah, it worked good. It got it in there.
Huh. It's hard to think because, you know, it's going to have an arc to it, so they would have had to work that out so the arc, when it came by, it had a up, because it's kind of hanging from that cable. It would be defining the arc of a circle. Wow, that's pretty clever.
Yeah, I'm sure a few times they didn't hit it exactly right.
Right.
but most of the time, I'm sure they did.
If it was working and it was driving it in, boy, they'd be happy to keep doing that.
That's kind of what I was thinking. That's kind of the only way they could get it in.
Huh. Huh.
Depend.
Let's back up a bit. Between you first start moving the crane out over the foundation,
over
the base plate, and then out over
it was basically the same as we did the first half. You just build your bottom cords up and tie everything in, and you build your top out, and then I'd pull myself up another bay, and you always stay a bay behind the crane did, and you always build a second bay out there. And then once you got it right, then we just take that cable and hook it up and pull me up one bay. Then you build that second bay up. And then same thing over. And it's just a repeat of the first side, really.
Okay.
You know.
Did anything different happen or anything unusual happen? Were you feeling way more comfortable about the whole job by then?
Yeah, I was really comfortable. Yeah, I kind of enjoyed that little swing I would get, little movement. Yeah, it didn't bother me a bit.
Uh huh. You mean when you were swinging steel into place,
swinging steel around or stopping. Stopping real quick once, you know, they come around, they set cable down and okay, stop. Well, I'd stop and you could feel the bridge kind of drop a little bit and then go back up. Just real small movements.
Yeah.
Not much at
all. Huh. And while you were doing that, were people stopping on the bridge, on the old bridge? Are they driving along? They stop and get out and take pictures and look at what you were doing?
I don't really remember many on the second side, but on the Navajo side, there was a place you could pull off, and they would be two or three people at least every day.
Oh, wow.
Would stop and sit there and watch for a little bit.
So
I'd wave at them and stuff.
Cool.
You're pretty close to the second bridge.
Yeah.
Or to the first bridge.
Would they like walk out on the first bridge and just stand there at the railing and watch you guys?
There's probably a few that would. I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
With their little kids, you know, little kids coming out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had fun in Page, Arizona. It was, it's not much there, but I enjoyed being there. It was really fun to me.
Nice.
I had a good time. Had a little bar down there I would go to, and they had dog racing on TV.
Oh.
And I wasn't sure where the dog racing was, but you could bet on them dogs.
Huh.
While you're in there. And that was really strange to me.
Hmm.
Never done that. Never done that. Seen that before.
Huh.
But
did you give it a go?
Yeah. I don't think I ever did that on nothing.
Okay.
I don't know one dog from another.
I don't either. Don't know. Huh.
But they had dog racing. You remember, you know, do they have any dog racing around Arizona?
Yeah. Down in Tucson and in Phoenix and the two big cities.
Okay.
And I didn't know they were streaming it. I knew you could bet. You could bet on that here in Arizona. I knew it was a big deal that lots of people would go to that, you know, because it was gambling and people like that. When I was a kid, that was, you know, it was all happening. And I didn't realize they had it on TV for the remote communities.
Yeah, they had it on TV there.
Huh.
Yeah. Huh. It's unreal. That was new to me. Hmm.
What else would you do on your days off?
Oh, first few times I was there, I would just drive around, get out, go eat breakfast somewhere if I didn't eat at home, get out, and then just drive around, look. I was mainly interested in the dam. What was that, Powell Dam?
Glen Canyon Dam.
Glen Canyon Dam. I was interested in that. I took a tour through it.
Cool.
And rode around, went to, if you go, let's see, if you go down by Marble Canyon and go across, go to Lee's Ferry.
Right.
Well, before you get to that, there's, in one area, there's some things called balanced rocks.
Yes.
They're big rocks on a little bitty pedestal.
Yeah.
Well, I went and looked at them because I like cartoons and I like my Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Or no. Yeah, the Roadrunner and Coyote.
Coyote, yeah, Wiley.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And they would show balanced rocks during the cartoon.
Nice.
And I thought that was all fake stuff. You know, they just draw it up.
Right.
Fake.
Right.
But that stuff is real.
Yes.
What I've seen.
That's cool.
So we just ride around and go look at stuff.
Nice.
I was really interested in balanced rocks, and I went down to Lee's Ferry, checked it out, and I thought that was cool. Cool area because of the history of it.
Yes.
Rode around a little bit around Lake Powell. Wasn't much. I wish it'd be now where I had like them side-by-side. Four-runners, where you could just really get out there and go.
Yeah.
But I mainly just, I like going seeing different stuff.
Cool.
And learning. I really enjoyed that Glen Canyon Dam.
Nice.
Outdoor stuff.
And did you get a chance to take a look at the arch bridge right in front of the dam?
Arch bridge.
Yeah, there's a, just in front of the dam, the road goes over across Glen Canyon there. You don't drive over the top of the dam, you drive over a bridge. And,
yeah, but I don't remember it being an arch bridge.
Okay.
I thought it was just flat across there.
Yeah, no, it's got this arch underneath it, and then it's got these long uprights that come up to the roadbed. That was built in 59 or 58, somewhere right in there, when they were starting
well,
to open the
dam. Well, I'm sure I went over it.
Yeah. I know you were looked at on the way.
But I don't remember no arch bridge there.
No worries.
That ain't nothing.
I'll email you a picture. And then...
Burned up a lot of brain cells since then.
It's only been 30 years, almost, so...
Yeah.
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 When you finally got close on the lodge side to the diving board coming out from the Navajo side to that side of the bridge, getting a little excited? I mean, what was that like?
Well, to me, when I get ready to... This is the first time I'd worked for this company. So when we was getting close to the end, I got to asking, I'm not nervous, but I got to asking, you know, have we got any more work? Can I go with y'all? Where we're going next? I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, after a couple of weeks or so, I just, you know, trying to listen. And they had another job in Tennessee building a bridge across a lake, which was... just your typical, just your typical iron bridge. It's just a big iron beam that goes across. It's like three of them that go across on piers and stuff across across the lake.
Okay.
And that's where they was headed to next. So I was comfortable then because I knew I had another job to go to.
Mm. Okay.
I didn't know if I was going to be laid off.
Right.
You know, with no work.
And did they tell you, yeah, we'd like to move you out to Tennessee when take you up for that job when this one's done?
Yeah, it was supposed to start up just almost right after this one.
Okay.
The Glen Canyon or the Navajo Bridge, that bridge. Yeah, it was supposed to start right after that. So I had time to take my family back to Texas. And then we rented a U-Haul and put all our furniture and stuff in it. And then we took off to Tennessee.
Okay.
And it was over the Delhalla Lake, which is, it was part, it started out in Tennessee and then it goes into Kentucky.
Hmm. Let's go back for a minute to the Navajo Bridge. Did you guys have a little topping out? Sorry?
I say, yeah, you don't need none of that up in Tennessee.
Well, no, it's good to know that. This is good to know that you're like, oh, we're going to finish this job, and now what am I going to do? Right?
Yeah.
Because this was your first time for trailer.
Yeah, I was a little nervous.
And you're completely disconnected from any other work for any other company out there.
Yeah, I didn't know nobody out there, really.
Right. So it would make sense that you would be a little worried about, you know, where's my next paycheck coming from?
Yeah, hopefully I was doing a good enough job for the company that they would take me with them.
Right.
What I always tried to do. But the topping out party.
Yeah.
It was, at first I heard it was, after we made them pins, them bottom pins and them bottom cord, after we made that one pin on one side and one on the other, that's, I think the next day, or it might have been that evening, we had that topping out party. I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was. Then we had a news crew. I think they was from Phoenix, maybe, or...
Okay.
What were some of them towns down there?
Yeah, it could have been Phoenix. It would have made sense. Yep.
Is Phoenix one of your big cities?
Yes.
I guess it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess they flew up there. And I talked to the, while we was having our topping out party, I talked to the director or news lady, whatever it was, said we'd like for me to go out on the crane and kind of swing it around a little bit to show, like, look like we're working.
Uh-huh.
While they fly over.
Oh, wow.
The helicopter and filming. I said, okay, I'll do that. I done had a drink or two.
Okay.
We had cable hung up on the side to walk out there where you could be tied off.
Yeah.
But I didn't have one on me when I went out there. So I was kind of jogging along out there on top, and I kind of stumbled a little bit. I went, ooh. I almost fell. And I said, dang, I hope they didn't get that on film. But I didn't fall, so I made it onto the crane. Climbed up there and swung it around, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, swung it around, booming it up and down. And I said, nobody was talking to me. I didn't have no radio or nothing. So I just done that for a little bit and then quit and climbed back down, went back over to land and started enjoying myself again at the Topping Out party.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't hear nothing about it. I mean, I didn't talk to nobody else once I went back to land that I know of. I didn't talk to newspaper and said that's fine or anything. I didn't hear nobody.
Huh, okay.
I guess they might have been talking to Ed Kent or David, maybe about the bridge at that time, you know, giving a little story about it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. No, that would make sense. There's a picture I saw of the last piece of steel on the top cord there, had an American flag on it and had a Navajo flag on it.
Oh, did it?
Do you remember that?
I forgot about that.
Okay.
I'm sure we did. I know we had one beam that I kind of remember, I think American flag, but they also, the ironworkers rode on it like local 487. I'm not sure if that's the right number, but they wrote whatever their local out of was.
Okay. Cool.
And I think I've got that picture of that beam when I was swinging around. Somebody took a picture of it, and I've got that picture.
Cool.
But you'd have to zoom in to be able to
see it,
read it.
Yeah. Cool.
What it said on it.
Well, that's fun.
So and I think we might put local, the operator's local on it too. I'm sure they did. That's what you usually do.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then to make sure I get this figured out, so the bottom cord is where the pin was.
Yeah.
So once the pins were in place, then you built the rest of it up to the top cord and finished that off.
Yeah, because that connected the two bridges.
Okay.
You put those, how did that go? You put the pins in and I think you put the plates on. And I think the plates went around. No, they couldn't have. If you put the plates on then and you stuck bolts in it, it wouldn't be able to move.
Well, that for this bridge, that's what they did. They actually pinned the two halves together. Once they put the pin in, then they bolted it all together so it was one solid unit just moving on the base plates at the bottom on either side instead of being a true multiple hinge with the hinge pins being live, like on the old bridge. This one, once it was done with the pins in there, then they put on these side plates and bolted it all together.
Yeah, I don't see how that would move if they did that. But I think they might. No, I don't know. But I do remember the top cords had a square box.
Okay.
Because I do remember. Well, we would make one of them when we was building it out. The Navajo Indians, the Navajo connectors, or bolt-up guys, they had this big, well, it wasn't a very big hole, but they had a long hole, not real wide, but they would climb inside to be able to put the nuts on the bolts.
Oh, that makes sense.
Then I guess they would take an impact from the outside and rattle them bolts till they got tight, and then somehow or another they had to torque it
right
to make sure they got up to torque
right.
But I know the top cord in the middle one went inside. I'm not sure. I'm thinking maybe the Navajo side was, or the American side was smaller and it went in to the Navajo side.
Hmm, okay.
That bean, that square popcorn bean.
Mm-hmm.
I think it went in like that. And that's what gives the movement up and down up there. I guess they got some kind of neoprene pads or something inside there because it's not metal to metal.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm guessing, but I know it did that. I remember them telling me that's for the flex when it goes down and up, that top cord kind of goes in and out.
That would make sense. Sure.
It might be not an inch, about an inch probably, I'd say. It's not much.
Right.
But.
And then did you stay there with the job to go ahead and walk the crane back and help?
Walk it back, tore it apart.
Okay.
And they shipped it off. We didn't use that crane for the job we had in Tennessee.
Okay.
We used a different crane on it.
How long did you stay with Trailer Brothers?
That was 6 months there. And then, I don't know, it was probably a month before we started the second job in Tennessee. And then I was probably there. Eight months, and that job in Tennessee was when Ed Kent he retired again about halfway through that job.
Oh, did he come out to Tennessee and work on that bridge too?
Yeah, he started it.
Okay.
And then he retired. They had somebody else from Virginia or another superintendent come down to finish that job. He started it, but I don't think he stayed there maybe 2 or 3 months and then retired again.
Okay.
Well, no, it had to be longer than 2 or 3 months because maybe it was about 6 months or so he retired because the other superintendent is a little short guy. He probably wasn't 5 foot tall.
Hmm.
Come in there. And we was almost at the end. I had six beams left to set. And me and that other little superintendent, me and him got into a little pissing match. And I drug up on him right there. I didn't want no more of it. And Ed Kent was there. And I was kind of upset with Kent because he didn't... He didn't really stick up for me at that time.
Huh.
I called in that morning because I bought a boat, a used boat, and I had to take it to the shop. We wasn't doing much. I mean, the ironworkers had bolting up to do and stuff, but I didn't have much to do. So I picked that morning out to go drop my boat off to get a floor redone.
Okay.
And I come back. Well, I went back straight to work. Probably 10 o'clock when I got there. Well, that little short superintendent, he got upset. And I even called in. I mean, I called in and told him. But he got a little upset, and then we got in a little pissing match, and I told him, you can take this job and shove it up where the sun don't shine.
Mm.
And I left. But Ed was there, and he never took up for me or nothing. I was kind of upset over that.
Huh.
But, I mean, I guess that's the way it works.
Yep. Yeah.
And then never work for them again.
Okay.
But out in Arizona, I had a fun time. It was a blast.
Nice.
Enjoy it. I've never done that before, and it was really new to me, and I was young. And it was exciting to me every day.
Nice.
I just wanted to do my best. And I didn't even really know about Navajo Indians till I was there. And then I got to learning about them. And then their culture, how they're living, and how their things do. And then I heard about, what's that Indian tribe that's kind of in the center of them? It starts with a P.
Yeah, the Hopi.
Hopi. Yeah, it starts with an H.
Yeah, that's okay.
Hopis. Yeah. And then I found out how you could tell a Hopi from a Navajo.
Okay.
I don't know if that matters, but I know that I think they was telling me that the Hopis have bigger cheekbones, or their cheekbones stick out further than Navajos. What makes them different? Something like that.
Okay.
I said okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned a lot. I mean, I enjoyed it. I had a great time.
Nice.
Great time.
Is there anything else about that build and that job that you haven't mentioned that we should talk about?
I just would like to see that I know you don't know where it is, but the quick film that they took pictures of, whoever state had that, I guess, of building the bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see that little, I guess they made it into a movie, but I don't know.
It's on my list of things to find. Yeah.
And that was interesting too, looking at my low charts and stuff that
yep.
you sent me.
Oh, cool.
But I didn't get the second, the enhanced ones or whatever.
You didn't?
I didn't get nothing of that.
Well,
you said I'm fixing to send you the high resolution.
That's right.
But I didn't get nothing.
Well,
on my texting. And I didn't see nothing on Facebook. But,
I think I did. I tried to send those to you on the phone, or was I emailing those?
You sent them on my phone to my text, and I could read them. I could blow them up and read them, and that was really interesting because I don't ever remember seeing none of that, which I don't think I asked, but.
I can mail those.
Really
I could mail those to you. Well, I don't have the big charts. I only have one. I don't have a copy machine that'll copy that big. But
well, even the frame, you know, the frame. You sent me the pictures of the frame and
yes.
all that
yeah.
stuff. I never saw none of that.
Okay.
I didn't even know it existed. Nobody said nothing about it. I didn't ask. I should have. But
I get confused.
I was wondering how they come up with that. I didn't know.
Yeah. They got some engineers in there from American Crane, it sounds like, to help them.
Yeah, that's what I've seen on there.
And it sounded like, if I got this right, the house sitting on its platform, that
uh-huh.
platform was really big. It was bigger than a normal track.
It was tall. It was what, 12 foot high or something?
It had some height to it, yeah.
But the actual iron and stuff is just tea iron.
Okay.
And to me, it didn't look all that big or thickness. You know, the thickness part. It didn't look all that thick. But that's what I was really, when I first got there, I was checking all this out, and I thought, man, this is all sitting on this.
Huh.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I'm confused. It sounds like 15 tons was the maximum the crane needed to move, but that stuff from trailer makes it sound like the crane had a 60-ton rating or something like that. And I got very confused. So I'm still kind of puzzled about that. That's my problem.
Well, you'd have the house, and you'd have that. I remember the turntable.
Yep.
Was like solid. You had your gear, your bull gear, on top for it to swing around on.
Okay.
And then everything below that was just like a big solid pipe that went from the top of the frame to the bottom of the frame, so everything could hook into it.
Okay.
But I don't know how thick that stuff was. The pipe that would come down, I don't know if it was solid. I wouldn't think it was solid. That'd be too heavy.
Right. You'd think it would be a cylinder.
I'd say it would be pretty thick, though. And like I said a long time ago, when I made my first pick, they put a plumb bob up underneath it and put it, I don't know, a couple of inches off the ground to see how much it would flex.
Okay.
You know, and they said, oh, it didn't move a bit. Well, okay, I believe you. That's all I had to go by.
Right. So let me make sure I understand this. So the house, it's got a counterweight, it's got the big drum with the cable on it, and the engine, and it's got your cab in it. That house is bolted to a cylinder going straight down.
Well, yeah, something like that.
And then there's you mentioned a bull gear on the outside, and your
bull gear is up at top.
Right, and your house has a little cogwheel that would tie into the bull gear, so you could turn the house around.
Swing it around.
Right, yes. Swing it around. That makes sense. And then as you swung around the bull gear, the center cylinder going straight down from the house would turn. And
part stayed solid.
Oh.
It didn't turn.
Okay.
The only thing that turned was the house.
On the bull gear.
Yeah.
Okay.
All that stayed connected, and it didn't move. Just the house turned around.
Okay.
All that was solid. It didn't move.
All right. Because I was thinking, what would keep the house from flipping off the platform then?
Right. No, it was all connected with that iron, T-iron. And just the house. I'd heard that, I remember they took that house come off a truck crane.
Mm-hmm.
To drive down the road.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
And I'd heard that they took that centerpiece out that the house sits on.
Okay.
The truck crane.
Okay.
With the bull gear. I heard they took that out and put it in that frame.
Well, that would make perfect sense. That would make perfect sense.
To make everything match up.
Right.
And then I guess they built a pipe around it and connected it to it. The iron could connect to that pipe so you could have a good solid frame.
That makes perfect sense.
That's what I heard. You know, it was already built when
right.
I got there.
Right.
So.
Okay.
I didn't get to see none of that.
Well, it clearly worked just fine.
It did, didn't it? Yeah. I'm still here to tell about it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. What was you telling me about? Oh, we can do this off the record.
All right. Yeah, I've got some questions for you once we wrap this up. And I'm just thinking, is there anything else you remember about that?
No, I just had a good time. I enjoyed Arizona.
Nice.
I enjoyed building the bridge from the Navajos, and watching them Indians get drunk and holler and hoot. That was a funny thing after we had our topping out party, I remember. There's only a couple of Indians I talked to that was mainly my connectors.
Okay.
And they come back the next day and they're all bruised up, black eyes and stuff. So what the heck happened to y'all? Well, I rolled my truck up the road up there. I rolled.
Oh, no.
And one of them, I think it was my main connector, he had a little old, I remember it was a green, maybe a little Ford, it was a little Ford truck. It was one of the smaller ones back then, had a bed. And that thing was almost full of beer cans in it. I remember him driving down the road all the time, and beer cans everywhere back there. He said when I got drunk after the topping out party, he said he rolled his truck.
Mm.
He said beer cans went everywhere.
I bet they did. Oh, gosh.
And I said, what'd you do with all them beer cans? He said, I had to pick them back up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I couldn't leave them.
Right, right.
I wasn't sure if that was on the Navajo land or the state or U.S.
Mm.
I don't know, but I remember him saying, I had to pick all them cans up.
Well, yeah, he's probably getting ready to turn them all in. Back then, you know, aluminum was fetching a good price.
Yeah, probably.
If you had a lot of them, you'd want to hang on to them and turn them in.
I had a good laugh over that.
Hmm.
I said, y'all not too good with that fire whiskey, are you?
Hmm.
Yeah, it was fun talking to Navajos. I enjoyed it.
I think it sounds like they enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Wonderful.
It was a fun group. We, everybody for Trailer Brothers there, we all got along, and it was really a fun job.
Cool.
You don't get too many of them like that, but this one was a fun job. I was more excited and we're just more excited about doing the job because it's something I've never done.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's really, it was interesting how we're doing it. And it was just really fun. I probably back then I needed the money, but now I probably done it for free.
Hmm.
Because it would just be so interesting to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I like new things because I learn.
Yes.
And like the bridge we done right after that in Tennessee, I was on a barge in the ocean or in the lake.
Oh, wow.
And I've never done that before. And that's quite different. A lot different. It was a lot different. I mean, you can actually, when I pick a bridge beam up beside me on another barge, I don't remember what they weigh. It was 100,000 or so.
Okay.
But the water would come up over the barge that I'm sitting on.
Oh, wow.
It it would come over about a foot. And as you swing around to go to the other side, you can see that water. It would just kind of drift down. It just followed me.
Wow.
All the way around.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was fun.
Huh.
I've never done nothing like that. So that was really interesting to me.
And that barge you were on must have been anchored into the ground or anchored into something to keep from floating away.
Yeah, they called spuds.
Okay.
You had four spuds.
Oh.
And you'd pick them up, and then they would screw something in or something to hold them up.
Okay.
While you do your other spuds, and then a barge would push me to wherever I needed to go.
Hmm.
And then when you got there, then I'd pick that spud up, hold it, and then when they cut it loose down at the bottom, I would just free fall it and let it drop till it hit and stopped.
Oh, so it would kind of go into the mud in the bottom of the lake.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of hold you there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was, when I first did that, I remember David was flagging me, Meech, whatever. I started easing that spud down, just kind of easing it down. He would look up at me and give me a signal like, cut it loose. And I'm thinking, does he really want me to cut this loose? Well, okay, I'll try it. So I cut it loose. It was ding-a-ding-a-ding-ding. It was banging around, going down. And then hit. Then I'd slam on the brakes. And he'd give me a thumbs up. Okay, yeah, so that's what we're supposed to do. I didn't know.
so you had the spud on your cable.
Yeah, on my block.
On your block, and so...
Like a four or... No, this block I had, I think it was an eight-part pick for the heavy beams. It had eight parts in the block.
Hmm.
So it didn't go real fast, but it would go, you know... A little bit.
It would be just taken off. And then you'd have to hit the brakes, otherwise the drum would just keep spewing out cable.
My block would hit the top of the spud.
Oh, right.
And then that's where all the cable would come off the drum. Yeah, that'd be an ugly mess.
Yeah, and then somebody would have to disconnect the block from the spud.
We had a little man lift on the barge, and he would go up there and cut me loose.
Huh, okay. And then you go do it again on the other side?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
that was really strange, too.
Huh.
But it's all learning experience. I mean, I can go back and know what to do now if
right.
I had to do it.
Right.
But first time for everything.
Boy, it sounds like there's a lot of on-the-job training in this kind of business. And
there he is.
It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had fun at it.
Nice.
I enjoyed it. But I love learning.
Yeah.
I love learning new things.
Yeah. Fun.
And being in different cranes, I like to learn the cranes when I get in them. You got to learn the computer because all of them got different computers nowadays.
Okay.
So I can run the crane. I mean, all cranes run the same, but mainly you got to learn the computer now.
Huh.
To go to work.
Got it. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Huh. It's all a learning experience.
Different times now.
You get your routine down.
When did the computers come into the house?
'97.
Okay. Not long after Navajo then.
Right. But, I mean, there's still a bunch of old cranes out there that don't have computers.
Right.
And they're still working.
Right.
So, yeah, it just depends on whatever you get in. The crane, I'm working for All Crane now.
Okay.
In Knoxville, and I run everything they got. So, from a little 15-ton up to 1,000-ton.
Okay.
everything, all your computers, no matter what you get in, something's always different in them. You gotta sit there and go through it, or if you can't go through it, then you get the mechanic come over there and say, help me out here.
Right. How do you figure this out?
I'm missing something here. What am I missing?
Yeah.
Set it up. Okay, I got it now. Let's go.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, that crane in Navajo over there, it didn't have no computer in it. Or all it had was a boom angle on the boom that you had to go by.
How does that work?
Well, that's what your load charts are based off of. You just had a little rod that would stick down on the side of the boom, pretty close to about where your head is,
mm-hmm.
on the butt section of the boom, and it free swings.
Okay.
And then below it is a degree, a half a degree wheel, you'd say, and it's stationary. It goes from 0 up to 90.
Okay.
So wherever that needle, that arm, wherever you boom at, that arm, it would always point what degree you're at, like 52 degrees, 56 degrees, 70, whatever.
And the closer toward horizontal you're going, the more you have to be concerned.
The higher number.
Yeah, the higher number. I mean, you start moving on your load chart, you have to have less and less metal out there.
You could only go to 82 degrees is high boom.
Okay.
And then you can go all the way to 0.
Because when you were way out near 0, if you had too much weight on there, it could jack in, pull up your
tear that frame up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
On a regular crane, it would just lift an outrigger or something.
Right, it picked the cab up, or rubber tires would come off the ground or something.
Yeah, but on that one, you'd take the possibility of tearing the frame up.
And chasing it to the river.
Mm-hmm.
Which would not be a lot of fun.
No, that would be a scary ride all the way down.
Yes, it would.
Luckily, we never come close to that.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well, fun.
What else I remember, I just remember being fun. I remember seeing the ballast rocks and enjoyed the Glen Canyon Dam tour.
Did you ever run into any of those other Navajo iron workers out there in your later career? No. Okay.
No, I never have. I mean, I've never been back since I left there.
Well, if you come out this way, we need to visit and go on out to that bridge, and I'd love to walk around there and have you look at it and recollect.
Yes, I do want to go back out there. I've seen the bridge on a couple of movies.
Okay.
Of them driving across, but I'm going to do it myself, though.
Hmm.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
Yeah, I want to go back out there and look at it myself.
The fun thing is you can stand
on it or something.
Yeah,
you
can walk the old bridge and look right out at the new bridge and just see it right there. And of course, they don't let you know. You're not supposed to walk across a new one, but you certainly drive across it easy. So, yeah.
But I can be a big dog and just walk across a new one.
Yeah.
I built this bridge. Leave me alone.
That's right. That's right.
Get out of my way. You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for me.
Well, they probably won't figure that out until they run you over, so I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Landy, this has been lovely. Thank you so very, very much for taking the time to walk me through this job and your career as a crane operator up to that point. It's been very fascinating. And I think with that, we'll go ahead and conclude this part three interview. Today is Thursday, December 22nd, 2022. My name is Tom Martin, and Andy, thank you so very, very much for this.
You're very welcome. I'm glad I could share what I had, what I could remember of everything.
Super. Well, hang on a second.